Take your Bibles, go to Galatians chapter number 20, and then in one hand, and then Colossians chapter number 3 in the other. We'll read our text verse we use this morning, and we'll try to finish up tonight the thought on a successful Christian life. If I ever get to a point where they associate me with Jesus, I believe I'll be a success. But in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, the Bible says, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now I want you to go to the book of Colossians, if you're not already there. Go to Colossians chapter number 3. And as you're turning there, I know we had a few folks that wasn't here this morning. We talked about the first thing as a successful Christian, you need to consider the position. And our position, not necessarily your position you hold in the church, but what Christ's position is. And we looked at that in Ephesians chapter 1, 19, verse 23. The Bible says that He sits on the right-hand side of the Father. He's far above all principalities and powers and mights and dominions and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. That's the position of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's higher and mightier than anybody could ever be. He is the Lord of lords and King of kings, and He is sitting on the right-hand side of the Father. And so that's Christ's position. And then we looked at the Christian's position in Ephesians chapter number 2. And it says in verse number 6, and had raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So we looked at considering the position, and then we said we need to create some passion. And we talked about setting your affections on things above and not on things of earth. And how the Christian, in Matthew chapter 6, it talks about two treasures. It talks about an earthly treasure. Those are the things that the thieves can get in and steal, and it can rust. And then we talked about the eternal things which are protected. Thank God that the Lord has protected those. But then we got to the part that most Christians don't like. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 4, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And then in verse number 5, jumping there, it says, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil con... shouldn't even went there, amen? We know that's a hard word, amen? Covetousness, which is idolatry. And so we started talking about the word mortify means to subdue, to bring in subjection. And that's where a lot of Christians today, they don't want to bring their bodies under subjection. They don't want to mortify the deeds of the body. And I said three things about that. Why should we control or mortify our members? Because the Bible says, number one, we're crucified with Christ. Thank God that Christ has did the work, and we should, once we get born again, then we become a new man. Amen. And all things have passed away, and behold, all things are new. And so we are crucified with Christ. And then it says in the verse number 3, not only we are crucified with Him, we are concealed in Christ. And in verse number 4, we're complete in Christ. He said, it's my life. Aren't you glad about that? It's my life. But tonight I want to look at four other things in this chapter, and I want you to look at verse number 8. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blaspheming, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye put off the old man with his deeds. I believe God put this in order the way it's supposed to be. Because number one, you can't put something off until you begin to control it. And the Christian needs to control his members. And then the Bible says, not only should you control your parts, then He said, once you bring those under subjection, begin to put them off. And then He starts dealing with this. Put off all these: anger. He's telling the Christian to put off anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another. You know, God begins to deal with the church. And if this is going on in the church, what in the world is going on in the world? And so if we're to put or bring our bodies under subjection, then God wants to constantly put off some things. You know, Paul said, I die daily. I don't know about you, but every morning I have to look at me. And you have to look at you. And you know what Paul said? Every day I got to die. Every day I got to look at myself and say, today, consider yourself dead. And that's the only way you're going to be able to put some things off is when you consider yourself crucified with Christ. But just because you're crucified with Christ, you know what Paul said? Nevertheless, I live. People say, well, I don't have a life if I get saved. Man, I have a life. You know, John, in the book of John, chapter number 10, it says, the thief cometh but to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. You know, Christians today, they're just satisfied with being saved and born again, and thank God for that. But I want more than being saved. I want to have an abundant life. I want to do something for my Savior. And so we're to constantly put off these things. You think about it. If we're interacting with each other and we can't even get this under control, how in the world are we going to win the loss for the glory of God? It says put off anger. Sure, there's people in the church that's going to make you mad. Raise your hand if nobody's offended you here at Glory Land. But Charlie, when I first got in this church, I'm thinking, there ain't no way anybody's going to ever offend me. Boy, was I living in a fair world. And man, we were just bebopping through life and everybody loved everybody. And one day somebody offended me. One day I got my feelings hurt. But you know what? I didn't quit church. And guess what? You're not going to believe this. I know y'all are not going to believe this, but I'm telling the truth. I've offended some people here. You know what I figured out about that? It goes both ways. Let's use an example, the nursery. Boy, that's a great... I mean, I really, one day, I'm just going to stay in there. I get all kind of sermon illustrations. Moms get mad because their little darling got bit in the nursery. Guess what? Hang on. Your little darling's going to bite them back. But that's the same way in church. We're just in the adult nursery right now. And you know what it is? If you don't put these things off, I'm going to tell you, it's going to take you out of church. Put off anger and wrath. Say, they done me wrong. Hey, everybody's been done wrong. I know one thing, if I had a beard, which I don't, but my son does. He has a beard. But last time I checked, nobody's plucked my beard out. And last time I checked, nobody took a cat of nine tails and beat me unmercifully. And last time I checked, nobody hung me on the cross, but my Savior, all that was done. And the Bible said He was without fault. And yet He quoted these words on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And I'm going to tell you something, folks, until you get your body under control, this talks about emotions. Anger is an emotion. You better get your body under control and then get these emotions under control. Things are going to happen in the church. Amen. And it's how we're going to react to them. But I'm going to tell you, if you'll bring your body under subjection, then bring your emotions under subjection. And that's harder sometimes in your body. Because in your heart, you might be smiling at me, but in your heart, you're ready to kill me. Amen. Give me a Presbyterian nod right there. So He tells us this. He said, but now also put off these things. Anger, wrath, all this emotion, filthy communication coming out of your mouth. Lie not one to another. Seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. So, number one tonight, we had to constantly put off these things. Now look at verse number 10. So if you put off things, then God's always got something for you to put on. You know, it's like, well, I got to give up all this stuff for God. I didn't give up nothing. He took all my sin. Everybody said, well, I'm not going to have... I'm having the time of my life. I'm telling you something. That people with this boring Christianity, I don't understand that. What that is you've never got off the pew and you've never done nothing for the glory of God. So if God tells you to put something off, He's going to tell you to put something on. Look at verse number 10. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of Him that created him. Whether there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, and another word I'm having a trouble with, bond or free, but Christ is all in all. Put on, therefore, watch as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Watch this, forbearing one another. I wonder why he put that in there. If we went around the room and you went and lived with me for 2 weeks. Now, let me give a better example. If you went home and lived with Brother Lent for 4 seconds, can you imagine? You know, and it's so funny when these new couples get married, they're all in love until they live with each other. And you find out that he puts the toilet paper on this way, and you like the toilet paper on that way. And she squeezes it, the toothpaste in the middle, but you like it coming from the end. And you know what it is? You just make it work. You forbear. But what it is in a relationship, you're going to have to forbear some things. And when it comes to interaction with Christians, nobody wants to forbear anything. And forgiving one another? I mean, I actually have to forbear them and forgive them? Lord, this is too much to bear. You want me to forbear them and forgive them? Now, I can sit on the other side of the church, but don't ask me to get things right with them. And I believe that's what's hindering a lot of churches today, that people are forbearing one another. They got that down. But when it gets to the point where they're going to forgive one another, you know, there's going to be times in your Christian life God's going to ask you to do something you don't want to do. And you're going to have to forgive one another. I wondered tonight if there's somebody in this building that's done you wrong. And all these years, you're forbearing them. But you've never forgiven them. You're not going to be successful. Now, it goes on to say this. Look what it says there with me in verse 13. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man hath a quarrel against any... Okay, well, he could stop there, but he said, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Are you saying you're better than Jesus Christ? When you refuse to forgive, you're saying that. And it should be quiet here. Nobody should be amening. Why? Because when you have quarrels in the church and you refuse to get them, how in the world can we put on the bowels of mercy and kindness when we won't even forgive one another? And we have all that anger and all that bitter and all that stuff going on in the church, and then God can't work the way He wants to work. So you know what? And number one, you got to constantly put things off, and then you need to continually put things on. It's a daily thing. See, Christianity's not Sunday morning. And that's where we're at in America. We have Sunday morning Christianity. Don't ask me to do it on Sunday night. Don't ask me to do it Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. It's only on Sunday morning, and I'll decide if it's going to be the early service or the afternoon service. We have got to a point in Christianity where we will not forgive anyone, yet we want God. And we want to be successful. And we want to say that we're a Christian. And God said you have to put these things on. And so what we've done is we don't have a problem sometimes taking some things off. But if we have to put some things on. You know, when you start putting these things on, you know what you start looking like? Jesus. Amen. So number one, you've got to constantly put off. And then you got to continually put on. verse number 14, let me read you this before we move on. Above all these things, we looked at this last week, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. God is asking us to do something that He's already done. Above all. See, if you got charity, you got it all. So number one, we need to constantly put off, and then we got to continually put on. But I want you to notice in verse number 15 of that same chapter, look what it says, and it says, "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called into one body, and be ye thankful." You know, it's no mistake God put it in this order, because when you take, hey, you're not going to have peace as long as you're in the sinning business. If you're born again. I know that God's long-suffering, and I know He has mercy, but I'm going to tell you something, my friend. You will not have peace. And these so-called Christians that run out of here and said, well, I can just live the way I want to, and God does not discipline them. God has strong language in the book of Hebrews about that individual. He said, you're not God's son, and I'm not going to use that term in here tonight, but I want to tell you something. If you can't put off some things and then put some things on, how in the world are you going to get peace? How can you have peace tonight if you got a quarrel with one another and you will not forgive them? How can you have peace tonight? You know what it is? You know why some of it's a dread to you? Because you've never forgiven anybody. And so church is a dread. And the Bible says this. Look what it says with me again. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. You need to covet after peace. I want peace tonight. The world wants peace. But the only way you're going to have peace is doing what God tells you to do. Put off some things and then put on some things. I'm sure that I've dealt with some people and over the years in the ministries that we had, and I know it would be difficult. Nobody said forgiving one another is easy. That's never come out of my mouth. Well, it's easy to forgive them. No, sometimes it's not. But you know what most of it is? It's pride. Amen. We will not put our pride down and admit to anybody that we're wrong. I'm telling you, we are human and we're going to make mistakes. And there will be times that you say things that you didn't mean it that way and it come out that way and you didn't mean it. And for the next 30 years, they've got an all against you and you wonder why God ain't done nothing in your heart and you don't have no peace. Why? Because you will not put off some things and put on some things to covet that peace. I want peace in my life and I don't want to have to take a pill to get it. I want God to give me peace, and He can give me peace. But God requires some things. He said, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you are called into one body. And watch what it says, be ye thankful. I'm telling you, I've never seen a generation of Christians that are so unthankful. And you know what? And we get all over the kids, brother. And we say, well, I tell you one thing, these kids are so ungrateful. Where do you think they learned it from? Yeah. Oh, they learned it from Hollywood. No, they learned it in the home. I was telling the kids this morning, when it comes to your conversation and your charity and in your spirit, you have to have two things when it says there about that spirit. Number one, you have to have a thankful spirit. Man, I can tell a kid what kind of spirit they got when they react to things like, well, that's not the kind of shoes I wanted. Well, thank God you got shoes. There's people that ain't got shoes. Hey, in Honduras, they don't know if it's in style or not. They know it fits them. And I said, not only do you have a thankful spirit, I told them kids when I was growing up, my underwear came from the mission. I'm not trying to be gross, but we didn't look and say, well, those are used. I can't use them. You'll be amazed at what Clorox gets out. I was thankful for Clorox. I didn't look at them and say, well, I can't. I'm sorry. That ain't my style. Well, I just went naked. And today, if you don't get a certain band for a certain people, but where do they learn that? It's been taught to them. You think they're getting it from the church? Who does your kid, am I getting in some dangerous ground? Who does your kid stay with the most? Do they stay with the pastor the most? Do they stay with the youth director the most? No. It says, and be ye thankful. I'm thankful tonight what God's given me. I can tell you tonight, these pants come from the thrift store. Hallelujah. I didn't pay full price. This belt came from a discount store. It was $9 and it fit me. Hallelujah. Praise God. He put clothes on my back. I'm thankful. I don't care if white's not in style after Labor Day. I can care less. It's what God's given me. And you know, when you're not thankful, you won't have no peace. Because you're always looking and always wanting. I'm telling you, you got to get a point in your Christian life where the peace of God's ruling in your heart, and whatever God gives you, you're thankful for. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise His name. Yeah. Amen. Go to Colossians and let me give you this last thing. So we want to constantly put off. We want to continually put on. We want to covet peace. And let me give you this last thought here tonight. Look at verse number 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Verse number 18, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for it is well pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of person. Last of all, I want you to consider this if you want to be successful. Concentrate on the priorities. You know, today, you know what the priorities of life are? You know, God starts off in verse 16, and He starts the relationship in the house of God. That ought to be a priority in your life. The spiritual temperature of our church should be a priority in your life. You know who you think that? Well, that's the pastor's job. That's his priority. Why is it not a priority for everybody in this church that's a member to make sure that we have harmony in the church? Oh, then we'll just let Brother Justice or all those years, it's Brother Charlie's responsibility. No, I believe that I just read teaching and admonishing one another. One another. Encouraging each other. Trying to help each other. Where in the world are we going to get help from? You think tomorrow your boss is going to stand up? Well, maybe Brother Graham and Brother Box has a different city. You think your boss is going to stand up in your work and start praising God and encouraging you? I mean, we have X amount of hours in church, and then we got to go out in the world. And so why can we not have a priority in our lives as a relationship of the house of God? I want that relationship of the house of God. I think it ought to be a priority. I think we ought to make it a priority. It's number one on the list. When we got something going on in the church, it's the church first and everything else is second. When I got saved and born again, that's how it was. The number one priority was the house of God. Now you got to put a calendar out 5 years in advance so nobody will plan nothing on there. It's all right to preach this because I'm going to preach it. It used to be a priority. And now it's just, if we have an open slot, preacher, we'll be there. Then when I come here, I get encouragement. When I come in here, people encourage me to do something for the glory of God, to see the faces in the pew. Some of them are encouraging, some of them are discouraging. But you know what, my friend? I'd rather come here than be anywhere in the world. I'm telling you, why can this not be a priority in our lives? We've got to concentrate on that. And say, well, listen, I'm not. If you're convicted because you're playing sports, that's God. That ain't me. Don't get mad at the preacher. But I'm going to tell you something, my friend. I'm going to make the house of God the priority in my family. And I made it clear when any of my kids played sports, I went to the coach. I said, listen, if I'm going to give you X amount of dollars and you're going to penalize them for coming to church, I'm not giving you my money. They ain't practicing on Wednesday and they ain't practicing on Saturday and they ain't coming when we got a special meeting at the church. And you can ask every one of my children that played. And if it was going on at the church, we didn't come and ask the pastor. Now listen, we're in a rock and a hard place. There was no rock and a hard place. We knew where our place was. It was with the rock, hallelujah. It wasn't between a rock and a hard place. It was going to be where God was. Because I didn't want my kids to look at me and say, here's a hypocrite right there. I wanted my kids to know church was number one. Why? Because it was what put their daddy and their mama back together. Amen. It was the preaching of God's word and how me and my wife didn't get a divorce and how they do have a daddy. It ought to be a priority. We need to concentrate on that. So number one, there's a relationship in the house of God. But look at verse number 18. It says this, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. That is as fit in the Lord. Well, you get this kind of preaching. I know I ain't going to get no amens from nobody but the daddies who ain't even got their house under control anyway. Hey, man, preach how you preach. No, and you're going to get your head wore out when you get out of this building for amening. But you know what? God said, hey, look at the priority at the house of God. Then I want you to look at it at home. Yeah. Hey, fathers, listen to the preacher. Spend time with your children. Take them fishing. Take them hunting. Do something with them. You know why the gangs are so successful? I'll tell you why gangs are so successful. Because I used to ask her, why are you in a gang? She said, because they love me. My goodness. You didn't have a mom and dad that loved you? And I know some of them didn't. But I'm going to tell you something, my friend. We need to make our families and our homes a priority. We need to pray with our children. And you know what? It starts off and it says, wives, submit to your own husbands as it fit to the Lord. And then here we go, husbands. Love your wives and be not bitter against them. I don't know why he chose to put the wife first. He did. He said, wives, submit to your husbands. But then he says, hey, husbands, how about loving your wives? Relationships in the home. Wives and husbands is in verse 18 through 21. Husbands, love your wives. And be not bitter against them. Now, children, you got a part. Children, obey your parents in all things. Verse 20. For it is the well-pleasing unto the Lord. Listen here, children. You want your mom and dad? You want them to be proud? Just obey them. How hard is that? They're going to make decisions you're not going to like. They're not going to call a board meeting. They're not going to do it. They're going to make decisions you don't like. But you know what? It'd just be better if you obey them. Look what verse 21 says. So you have a relationship between a husband and a wife, or wives to husband, then husbands to wives, children to parents. But they say, oh, by the way, fathers. He didn't mention the mother. By the way, fathers, provoke not your children to anger. When I think about that, this is what I think about. Daddy does one thing at the house of God and does another one at the home. And they grow up hating God and the ministry and the church and everything else. Coming here with all these big Bibles you got, you go home, you watch everything you want to on TV, and you say, now this is an adult program. Why are you watching stuff your children can't watch? Amen. You know what you're doing? You're provoking them to anger. It ought to be a priority in our lives for our home. That's what God gave us. God gave me a wife. And he gave me children. And let me tell you this. Those children are the heritage of the Lord. And those are the things, they say children are as arrows in the hand of a mighty man. And that's all I have to shoot out to the world. And we wonder why our children get 18, 19 years old and they leave the church. I tell you why. We provoked them to anger. Church ain't important to them. Oh, yeah, we'll just go on vacation. I know we could be there on Monday, but let's just leave Sunday. And you know, some of these little fellas are actually excited. Sometimes, I know it don't look like it, but sometimes they're excited about coming to church. The relationship in the house of God should be a priority. Our relationship in the home should be a priority. But look at the last thing, and we'll close. The relationship to the one that hired you, your boss. People want to have a Christian life, but they go to work and live like hell. I want you to look here in verse 22. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service. When I think about that, I think is, you know, your boss tells you to do something, you go, okay. Now remember, I'm with the union. You can't fire me. Why would you not be the best worker that they got? And see, our relationship is going to reflect. Well, I'm a Christian. Does your boss know you're a Christian? And it's not because you witness. Does your boss know because of what you're putting off and what you're putting on? What you're controlling? What's your passion? You want to be successful? You better consider some positions. You better create some passion in your life. I'm telling you, you need to get some passion. Because if you get a passion, I ain't got to every Sunday whip you into a fury if you'll create your own passion. If you'll control your members, your parts, and you'll constantly put off and you continually put on and you covet peace and you begin to concentrate on the priorities of life, you're well on your way to being successful. And so I want to encourage you this week, concentrate on this, meditate on this, read this chapter and over and say, hey, Lord, what these things is, I know there's more in what I preached. There's way more. But I want to encourage this church. I want every Christian to be successful. And the way you do it, there's an outline of this chapter. Let's all stand and we'll pray and be dismissed. Appreciate you being here tonight.